This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Temple, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, let's hear the truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Revelation chapter 17, verse 8, where we left off last time. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. Just before we begin, I want to do a shout out of congratulations to our own family member, our brother Scott Merson, for a magnificent performance last Wednesday night. Scott Merson and his supernatural camera. This was the first time in Scott's life he's been up before people to lead a group, and didn't he do a great job? Now, yes, hallelujah. Now, the devil sent a messenger to buffet him as soon as he walked, before he walked in the door, because the demons can't stay in here very long. But Scott, like a real pro, you know the show must go on, so he recovered and went right on. And so I just wanted to say thank you. From a teacher, you get A+ and a star. And I want to say this, is not the end of his videos. We know that God has great plans, and I'm here to help and support. And we know that there are many, many more times we're going to watch Scott grow, and God's going to use him in a mighty way. So God bless you, Scott Mercy. Great job. It takes a lot of courage. You very open yourself, vulnerability. I can't say it. You're very vulnerable when you get up before people, and all kind of things can go wrong, but it was really great. You just really came. Cream always comes to the top, so God bless you. And now Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. Jesus has just shown John a picture. See, Scott takes pictures, and it's a message from God in the pictures. Jesus always has talked in pictures. So Jesus has just shown John a picture of Mystery Babylon, the great, that great harlot, that whore. Okay, I mean, this is this woman sitting on the waters on a beast colored with scarlet. Now, we learned last time that this is a metaphor, an allegory. It's a picture symbol. Mystery means hidden. Babylon means confusion, lies, deception. The woman sitting on the many waters on the scarlet-colored beast is the entire world, men and women, including half of the body of Christ, who are already deceived, who already are wearing Babylon, who are already believing the lies, and who will worship the Antichrist as he comes very soon, pretending to be the Savior. The waters, as we're going to learn tonight in verse 15, are the people. In other words, all of planet Earth is deceived. The beast is the second beast of Revelation 13, the Antichrist. I do want you to get it in your mind when you're sharing this with other people that the Antichrist doesn't mean in this case against, and sometimes in the Bible it does, but here it means he's going to pretend to be Christ. Well, who is the real Christ? Jesus, okay. But this is somebody taking Jesus' place. He's the dragon pretending to be the lamb. And Revelation says the dragon is the devil and the lamb is Jesus. And so he's the beast. This means the whole world confused, being lied to, deceived, including half the body of Christ, five are wise and five are foolish, absolutely believe this beast is God, and they sit on him, means they depend on him, they trust him to be their God. And why was he colored in scarlet? It's called the scarlet letter, though your sins be as scarlet, to tell you that he's the man of sin, the man of perdition, and the world that then was when Satan rebelled and said, I will be God. He brought sin into the equation. So that's where we left off. Then this little angel comes up to John and said, John, Are you confused about this? The little angel says, I'll explain it to you, John. I always chuckle. In Revelation, when an angel comes to explain John, it's going to be more confusing than ever. You know why? Because the angel lives totally in a spiritual dimension. And most of you live in only a physical dimension. You do not know there are angels and scrolls and demons all around. But some of us, with our eyes open, God has blessed us so we move in both dimensions, and we're aware of that. And I do believe John's eyes were open there. But it's interesting to me how the angel explains it. You have to explain the angel.
Eight. The beast that thou sawest was...
Now, that means the beast, the Antichrist, on which she sits, the world is depending, the Antichrist, was in the first earth age, 2 Peter 3:6, the world that then was, Lucifer, Isaiah 14, he existed then. He was the covering cherub for eons and eons of time. He was very, very good, and one day he got proud and said, I will be God, and brought sin into the equation. He's the man of sin.
And is not.
Now he's coming very soon. We're now in the fifth trump. I'm a part of that. It's a time of learning. Very soon the sixth trump will sound. That'll be the Antichrist. Revelation 12 says Michael's going to boot him out of heaven with his fallen angels. And he's coming. He's the beast. He's the one going to call himself Savior. And so he's about to come, but he's not here yet.
And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit.
The bottomless pit is a figure of speech meaning degradation. Say, once upon a time in the world that then was, Satan had the highest position any child of God could attain. He had worked his way up to be the covering cherub to cover the mercy seat. And he was highly exalted. Everybody honored him and loved him. And God did too. But when he got proud, he lost his position. So from the highest, loftiest place of admiration, he fell to the pit. Have you ever said you were in the pits? Okay. Now, how's he going to ascend out of that state of degradation? Because he is going to come back calling himself God, Revelation 12. So then he's ascending back up to his high position. Hello, world, I'm God. You understand?
And go into perdition.
There's your clue word. Perdition means to perish. Now, many people think that Judas is a son of perdition because Jesus said in parentheses, but the son of perdition. Jesus was not referring to Judas. Perdition is Satan's name. In Ezekiel 28, everybody who's a scholar, I want you to get everything I'm telling you today. You need to tell other people all of this. You need to know it. Ezekiel 28, God sentenced Satan, who was play-acting himself, calling himself King Tyros, there, the false one. He sentenced him to turn to ashes from within, to perdition. That's what it means, to perish. And Revelation chapter 9, the king of the bottomless pit is called Abaddon, which means the destroyer. Who is it that's trying to destroy you, you're? The devil. And he's called in the Greek Apollyon, which means perdition. So there's only been one son by name sentenced to turn to ashes from within, to perdition, to walk into the lake of fire, and that is Satan. Now we're going to find that there are other entities that have been sentenced there, but their names are not in the Bible. So when it says perdition, Satan is a son of perdition. Paul speaks of him.
And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder.
Revelation 13 says the whole world will worship him, including half the body of Christ. Five are wise, five are foolish. You have no oil in your lamp. Oil is light, light is the truth, and truth is the word. However, you're hearing the word here.
Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world.
It says here that the whole world is going to worship him, calling him Messiah, except those who have their names written in the Lamb's book of life that were written there before the foundation of the earth. What is the foundation? Ephesians 1, verse 4. Chosen from before the foundation. Foundation, a Greek word, katabol, Satan's rebellion in the first earth age. So let me explain. God created all of us at the same time. You are a spirit. You came from God. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7 says, when you die, ere the silver cord breaks, your spirit, that's what you are, returns to God who gave it. You can't return unless you were there before. We were all created at the same time. There was no death. There was no sickness. We were spiritually married to God. But when Satan rebelled and said, I will be God, one-third of those children, minus the flesh, went with him. One-third sat there and watched him. But there was one little group called the Zadok, the elect, who fought for God. Everybody who betrayed him, their names were written and deleted from the Lamb's Book of Life. See, there was never to be any death. Jesus' name is life. There was no death. So Satan stole God's children, so their names were taken out of the book of life. But that elect, that group, that small, stunty group, the hidden ones of Zephaniah and the small, stunty group of Amos, their names were left in the Lamb's book of life. And God has sent out a remnant of that small group, umbilical cord to umbilical cord, generation after generation after generation, to bring the oracles of truth, the mystery of God, all of it. What you're hearing here today, it's not the mainstream, it's not the most. Romans 11 says there's only 7,000. And here at the very end, right now, to the sound of my voice, there are 7,000 elect, Romans 11, who will not bow the knee. And here we are. This is our destiny. Do you understand? Okay. So, now some of you say, but wait a minute, I'm a Christian. Isn't my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Even if you betrayed him then, he's so good. He sent you through your mother's womb this one time in the flesh in the second earth age to choose Jesus or the devil, because it was in the second earth age that Jesus was the lamb slain. He came and paid the sin debt. So when you repented and when you believed and accepted Jesus, your name was again written in the Lamb's Book of Life. However, when this beast, this Antichrist, this beautiful creation calling himself God, comes as God, and the whole world follows him and half the body of Christ, if you commit apostasy, 2 Thessalonians 2, fall off to him, your name will again be erased. So the only ones who are not going after him are the very elect. And see, you can be next to the very elect now. The elect were chosen then, but you can stand true and be chosen now. Hallelujah.
When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom.
The angel says, I'm going to give you wisdom, John, to understand this.
The seven heads are seven mountains.
Mountains are nations of seven continents. In other words, all around planet Earth. See, that's right now. Right now, Mystery Babylon covers this land. You can hardly find the truth. Everywhere, everywhere, people are deceived. Politicians, Christians are deceived. Do you really believe that if the suicide bombers knew that they were not going to get 70 virgins and all the wine they could drink, do you think they would blow themselves up? Of course not. The reason she's called mystery, mystery means hidden. The deception is hidden from them. Do you really believe that Christians who went to church this morning, who truly love Jesus, but I believe they're going to fly away, do you really believe if they knew the truth that they would fly into the devil's arms when he comes back calling himself Jesus and they would worship the devil? No, it's hidden from them that they are deceived. However, it is our responsibility to break through that darkness and bring forth the light.
On which the woman sitteth, 10, and there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen.
All right, the angel gives us a little history here. Now the 5 fallen ones have already fallen. The first is Nebuchadnezzar, who captured 2 tribes, the house of Judah and Benjamin, and took them captive into Babylon. But you know the Bible says he fell. The second king is Medo-Persia. They came in that same area and took over and conquered, but Medo-Persia fell. And then there was Alexander the Great, Greece. He came and took over, but they fell. And then there was Rome under the leadership of Caesar, but Caesar fell. when Jesus was here on the in the flesh, that was when Caesar was in charge. And then the fifth one that has fallen, this might be new to you, it's called the Mohammed Kingdom, the Mohammedan Kingdom. It took authority in 636, 36 is 666, Mohammed Kingdom. And it reigned until 1948, but that kingdom fell. And we're about to find that the other two kingdoms, remember he said there's seven, they exist.
One is.
In 1948, Jeremiah speaks of the good fig and the bad fig. The good fig, our beloved brother Judah and Benjamin, the house of Judah, not the 10 tribes, they are split. The two tribes went back to the land of Israel and recreated the nation Israel. However, with the good fig, our true brother Judah, went the bad fig, Jeremiah 24, and that they are the K-E-N-I-T-E-S, the descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil. One of the symbols of the Kenites is a dog. Remember when Jesus called the Syrophoenician woman a dog? Syrophoenician means a Kenite. Well, don't we say a canine is a dog? Okay, I just thought I would throw that one in. So you see, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9 says the only two type churches that please Jesus here at the end will tell you who they are. You just heard it. They say they are beloved brother Judah. They say they're the good fig, but they're the bad fig. They're the children of the devil. Now, that's why that area has no peace. We've got half and half over there. We love our brother Judah, Benjamin Netanyahu. We love him.
And the other is not yet.
All right, now we've got a seventh one. He's about to come. That will be the Antichrist. His number's not seven. He's 666, six seal, six vial, six trump, six in the first age, six in the garden, coming back as six, trying to be seven. Seven is God. But he's coming back as seven, calling himself God. You understand? So he's about to come.
And when he cometh, he must continue a short space.
Now he has just a short time. Originally in Daniel, Satan's time, his reign here on earth as God, was 7 years. But in Daniel, it was shortened to times, times, and half times, 3.5 years. When Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh, he saw how hard it was for us to endure. So in Mark 13, Jesus shortened it for the elect's sake. In Revelation chapter 9, it says the time of the king of the bottomless pit, who is Abaddon, the destroyer, who is Apollyon, the son of perdition, is 5 months. And the time of the locust army is 5 months. So his time is short. This makes Satan very mad because you can deceive a lot more people in 7 years or 3.5 years than 5 months. However, put this in parentheses. Back in one of the chapters in Revelation, I believe it was chapter Revelation 8, you can check me out on that one. It says there was silence in heaven half an hour. Now, we call the time of Antichrist here his hour. It doesn't mean a literal hour. Haven't you heard to say, this is my hour? You know, it's an expression. So his hour, half an hour, there's silence in heaven. All right. Has that 5 month time been cut in half? Because he's squawking away, held restrained by Michael in heaven now. Will the fallen angels come? Two witnesses come. Beside, the trumpet is sounding now. The fifth trumpet, the trumpet of truth. Little food for thought, parentheses.
11, and the beast which was and is not, even he is the eighth.
All right. What he's saying there, the beast, that's the Antichrist. He was in the first earth age. He's not yet here, but when he comes, he's calling himself seven God. But it says he's the eighth. Okay. This means that 7 and 8 are the same. They are both the Antichrist. This is a figure of speech. 8 in biblical numerics means new beginnings. Daniel tells us that when the vile one comes, the Antichrist, pretending to be Jesus, the Savior, Jesus to the Christians, Messiah to the rest of the world, that he's going to say peace and safety and cause craft to prosper. In other words, it would be a new beginning on planet Earth. We never have peace, do we? Ever since we can remember, there's been some kind of a war. Look at Cain killing Abel. Always war, 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 rumors of wars. And my Lord, there's so many poor people on Earth. Even America is suffering now. But when Antichrist comes, he's going to say peace. He's pretending to be the Prince of Peace. And if you worship him, you can have everything you want. Those of you who are dependent on the government, you are a setup. Get off of that, because if all you have to do is call a Messiah, and you can keep on having your devil phones and your rent paid and your free stuff and luxuries. See, that's a new beginning. Since when on planet Earth has there been peace on Earth? New beginning, right? So it's a figure of speech. So 7 is 8. But remember, that's folk. That's fake.
And is of the 7.
It means he's the same one, because he's coming to give you a new beginning, peace and safety. But remember, when they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction.
And goeth into perdition.
Despite the fact that he's coming back and the whole world will worship him and half the body of Christ, God says, I'll still sentence you in Ezekiel 28 to walk into the lake of fire and turn to ashes from within. So it's too late. He can't redeem himself. He went too far.
12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings.
Now, this is interesting. 10 horns means power. With Satan in the sky, Revelation 12, are coming the fallen angels. Genesis 6, it says, the sons of God went into the daughters of the man Adam. Sons of God there in Hebrew is Napha, Nephilim, fallen angels. You see, when God destroyed the first earth age and brought in the second, he decided to send everybody out with a memory forgotten one time to be born from above, which is what born again means, of woman, with the memory forgotten, so you would make a true choice either for Jesus or for the devil. Of course, it's a different story for the elect. They're sent out to be lights and teachers. But the fallen angels didn't wait to be born again. When Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, it means born from above. They did not wait their turn. An angel in the manuscripts is a young man and can make firm. So under Satan's direction, Genesis 6, these fallen angels came in and married, quote unquote, the beautiful daughters of the man Adam to pollute the seed line so Jesus could not come through, so it would be polluted, and of course produce the Geba, the giants. Now, we find in the book of Peter that they, all of these fallen angels, were sentenced to perdition. We just don't have their name. And Peter tells us they're held right now in a place called Tartarus. But God's going to use them one more time. He's going to let them come with Satan, and they're come on, and they're going to be take charge and work for their dad. There will be a great revival in the Christian church to see. Not here. We'll know better. We stay revived. But the part of the Christian church deceived a great revival, and these fallen angels will walk in the pulpits. They'll be all over television. They'll come and sit beside you in your service there. They are con artists. They are lookers, and they absolutely have a plan to do. They're charismatic, and they're going to be preaching in the deceived part of the Christian church. Kings. They're having one more playtime. That's why Paul said to women, have your head covered. It doesn't mean with hair or a hat. It means covered with the mind of Christ. But it also means you men, because remember, they don't care about aberration. So men, you better cut your hair.
Which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast.
In other words, because they were so faithful to him and did what he wanted to do there in Genesis 6, he's going to give them that promotion. And they'll be all over the television. It will be what seems to be the greatest Christian revival on planet Earth, except the church deceived. Once again, that's not all. There are 7,000 that won't be. They will not come in here and preach.
13. These have one mind and shall give their power and their strength unto the beast.
These fallen angels are so knit, so united in their love for their father, the devil, that they just will not betray him. They will strap a suicide bomb around themselves and blow themselves up for their God. In the book of Jeremiah, God says to Jeremiah, I wish my children were as faithful as Rechab's children are. Rechab is a symbol of the devil, Rechabites, the Kenites. They have such focus. Why, look at them now. Turn on your television. There they are on the screen. We call them leaders of our country. And when Paris is slaughtered, when our country is threatened, and when Brussels is threatened, our leaders don't care. All they care is about completing the assignment of their father. They actually look down at us. How dare we interrupt the plan of their father? They are focused. You be focused on your part.
14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them.
Now this will be the battle of Armageddon. At the seventh trump, Jesus will come with his army. Satan will have already come, calling himself Christ, standing in Jerusalem, his fallen angels, this great army around him, and outside the Kenites in their human body. And the fallen angels, Revelation will tell us that, we'll get to it, but we'll actually go into it graphically in Revelation later on. They will fight against Jesus, but they will turn to ashes from within at the brightness of Jesus' coming. Jesus is the consuming fire. Poof! Just like that. Hallelujah. That's the battle of Armageddon. Now what about those Satan's children, the Kenites? The blood's going to be up to the horse's bridle from 180 to 200 miles. Battle of Armageddon. Why does the Lamb win?
For he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
That's why, because Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Hallelujah. We win. Everybody, let's just get happy. We win. Okay.
And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
Jesus is bringing back with him an army. They're preparing for an army there. All of those faithful, that remnant that fought for him in the first earth age that have already gone back, they're coming with him. And right around Jesus will be able to gather the very elect who right now are alive in physical flesh. It's only the elect, the ones he brings, that remnant, and the ones here that stay true will gather around him. Why? Because we're called, we're chosen, we're faithful. Hallelujah. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, endure to the end. Hallelujah.
15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sowest where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.
There's your answer. Over and over you keep hearing me say the waters symbolize the people. So get that one, memorize that one so you can share it with other people. The waters are the people, symbology.
16, and the 10 horns which thou sowest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore.
All right, horns means power. These are actually, Revelation says there are 7,000 of these fallen angels. See, the negative for the positive, 7,000. It's not a literal number. 7,000 deceived against the 7,000 who are not deceived. What this means is these fallen angels, although they come into the Christian pulpit and con you to wait for their dad to fly you out of here, or however he's going to do it, and on television, they hate your guts. They have such pride in them. They're con artists. A con artist hates the person he cons. Well, look at our television screen. The Kenites in leadership hate the people they're supposed to love. They hate the people they con. They actually throw you out little words to say, you fools, you dumb people, I'm killing you, and you don't have sense enough to know it. A con artist always hates the one he cons. He thinks you're stupid, so they have no respect. But they're doing this for their daddy.
And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh.
Eat her for lunch. In other words, you know, you understand the expression, they take you, you've been had.
Burn her with fire.
2 Peter 3 says that when Jesus comes, the elements will burn with fervent heat. It doesn't mean the planet. It doesn't mean the heavens. In the Greek is rudiments, the false teaching, Babylon. the lies, the deception. Because Jesus is the truth. And all of those lies are going to be dissolved right now. Truth dissipates the lies. That's why we are getting this truth out to this country. Because the truth will absolutely delete the lies.
17, for God hath put into their hearts to fulfill his will.
You see, even their evil has a purpose. Do you understand, Christian, you have to be vetted. The politicians say, I've been vetted. You've got to have your faith muscle strained. Trained and strained. God does not want this to happen again. And if you're going to fold now, if you're a hothouse lily, if every time a demon comes to you, you run with your tail tucked between your legs, if you can't stand and fight, you have the victory. 1, 2, 3, a threefold cord is not easily broken. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. In the name of Jesus, it is written on the basis of victory's blood, and say the word. But if you don't learn how to fight now, you're no good. You're going to fold. You see, you've got to be vexed. You've got to be trained. Nobody's any good unless you've suffered for Jesus. How can I tell you that you can if I haven't been there? I've been there. You can.
And to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled.
But there's a set time that God says, that's enough. It's done. Done with that.
18. And the woman which thou sowest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
Now this word city does not mean Brussels or Paris or New York City or Jerusalem. It means state. Haven't you heard the reporters say that Islam is a state? It's a state of mind. So Mystery Babylon, the hidden deception, lies, confusion that sits over all of planet Earth, that state of mind of lies, it's everywhere, it's everywhere, it's everywhere. There are just a very few that where the light is that you could even talk to. It will be destroyed when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next week we're going to find out that Jesus says, come out of her, my people. Come out of Babel. And I say, come out of Babel into the Bible. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, we thank you for this beautiful word. What a magnificent writer you are. Father, your word does not return void, but accomplishes that which it pleases. I ask, Father God, that many ears will open to hear with understanding. Touch hearts, change hearts, save souls. Bring your children out of Babel. Awake, O sleeper, Father God. Let them come out of this deception. Let there be light. Erase that spirit of stupor from your church, Father. Be glorified through this lesson. We love you and thank you and give you praise and honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, the most important thing is that you would be saved. I want all of you to pray this prayer with me if you're not saved. We want to put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, yes,
please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe Jesus' blood.
I believe Jesus' blood
will wash away my sins.
Wash away my sins.
Save me, Lord Jesus.
Save me, Lord Jesus.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your Word.
Grow me in your Word.
Let me be such an example of you.
Let me be such an example of you.
Let everybody see Jesus in me.
Let everybody see Jesus in me.
Use me.
Use me.
I love you.
I love you.
I thank you.
Thank you.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. You might like to call and leave a message and tell me you were saved. Say your name clearly so I can pray for you every day. Now, for those of you who are sick, Jesus took 39 stripes on his back, and he still heals. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask the Holy Spirit will go out through the ether waves, Father God, wherever there is pain and pain, stop in Jesus' mighty name. Diseases be gone. Cancers be gone. Fibromyalgia be gone. Deaf ears hear. Lame legs walk. Dead people come alive. Schizophrenia be gone. In Jesus' mighty name. Arthritis be gone. Hearts and lungs be healed. Be healed from the top of your head. The soles of your feet, the energy and strength of life come back to you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. He sent his word and healed you. Thank you, Father. We give you glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. When you call, you might like to also tell me you were healed. Call and tell me you love me. Tell me on which station you hear me on the radio so I'll know how to make wise decisions. And you may feel free to leave your question or your prayer request. As soon as I finish Revelation, I'm going to, of course, I will always be teaching one book at a time, line by line. I'm going to reinstate my little segment, Mystery Moment, where I answer some questions at the end of the show, so you can leave your questions and I'll get to them. Now remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." I love you very much with all my heart. You go and tell what you learned today. Stay in the Word. God bless you and God keep you. And if God's will, I will see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
And we are hungry to know you more.
Stretch forth your hand to me, to you my heart restore.
Fall on me, Holy Spirit of God, fall on me. My heart with your fire, fall on me. You alone I desire. Come, Lord, fall on me.
Come quickly, Holy One. Stretch forth your hand. Down and lift me up and breathe on me.
your fivefold on me. You alone I desire. Come. And we are hungry to know you more.
Stretch forth your hand to me, to you my heart restore.
Fall on me, Holy Spirit of God, fall on me. Fill my heart with your fire, fall on me. You alone I desire. Come,
fall on me.
Fall on me. Holy Spirit of God, fall on me.
That a man be found faithful. So let the work of our hearts and hands be willing and able. May we not rest in His grace while there's work to be done in this place. May we be praying, sowing, reaping. May we be have been scattered, fences overrun. So let us be doers and not hearers only, serving Christ the one who is holy. May we be praying, sowing, reaping. May we be found praying, sowing,
let us be fine.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
take me by the hand. Can you use me as I am? Break me into who you want me to be. When the time is finally right, will you open up my eyes? Show me everything you want me to see. This life is not mine. More than what I sing, can I give you every part of me? And turn these pennies into gold. Take this life I call my own until I'm running after your heart. I'm needing to let go.
The way you turn.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true? Promises shatter, answers don't come. Friends say goodbye, plans come undone. Dreams get crushed, lies get told. Words can turn cruel, hearts can grow cold. In a broken world where we cry to feel some hope that helps these hearts to heal. You're my strength, you're my refuge. In a broken world, Jesus, I'm holding to you.
You make sense of the madness and make darkness flee. Such a